Great to see all of you here. Hey, in 1986, I was a sophomore in college. Think about where you were in 1986. I was a sophomore in college. I was at Mississippi College, and I was on the golf team there. I had walked on my sophomore season. I went to a different school my freshman year, transferred there, but walked on and got a scholarship. So I was playing on the golf team, and our first tournament was at the University of North Alabama up in Florence. And so I grew up playing golf from the time I was seven, but we came to this first tournament. There were teams from all around the country, players from around the world. And I remember going to the first tee because I grew up in a small town. As I'm going to this first tee, I'm reliving this in my mind. And there weren't any young people that played golf in my town. They didn't have a golf team on the school. We didn't play any golf tournaments. So this was really my first official golf tournament ever. I played in some adult tournaments, but never with people my own age. So I'm sitting there on the front on that first tee, and I'm thinking, let's don't hit anyone. Let's don't miss the ball, and let's don't put the ball in the river because there was a river running through Florence. And so I was thinking those three things. I remember that just like it was yesterday. And so I've got all this nervousness and fear and wondering what's going to happen. You know why that was there? I've been playing golf now. I've been watched my whole life as a young person growing up. People had watched me play wherever I played. But now I've got all this fear. You know why? It's because I knew there would be no mulligans. There would be no second shots off the first tee. Some of you are going, what is a mulligan? You see, when you grow up playing golf with your dad and your dad's buddies and you go to the first tee, you didn't warm up, you didn't go anything, you just got out of the truck, got your clubs, went to the first tee. And if you hit a bad shot the first time, you know what they'd say? Hey, hit a mulligan. Hit another one. And sometimes you need to hit a couple of mulligans until you get it right. But I knew in this tournament, wherever I hit it, that's where I was going to play it. And so all this fear because there was only one shot. As we enter this new series, I want you to know what you already know. You got no mulligans. This is your one shot. There are no do-overs in this thing called life. And so these coming weeks, as we think about that truth that we kind of know in the back of our head, but we really don't live it in front of our feet, we're going to talk about some things. If that is true, and it is, you don't get a mulligan, you don't get a do-over at any phase of your life, then what needs to be a part of your life so that you don't get to the end of your life and go, I wish I had a mulligan. I wish I could do it over. Well, today we're going to talk about kind of one of the foundational issues, and it is, I believe if you're going to live that life, that one life, the way you ought to live it and the way God wants you to live it, you've got to have vision. Vision is a mental picture of what could be, what should be, and what God wants it to be. It's not just some random thought. A lot of people talk about vision. You can get books on vision, and you think about this. And you think, nuh-uh. This is a picture of what could be, should be, and what God wants it to be in your life. So you think about all the different phases of your life, all the different environments and areas of your life, and ask yourself this question. Do I have a picture, a mental picture of what it could be, what it should be, and what God wants it to be? Because every one of you can see what is. And if you don't have vision, all you are destined to do in life is commentate on life. And I think as followers of Jesus Christ, we've kind of gotten to the phrase, we like to look at the things, we like to look at our communities, we like to look at our schools, we like to look at our churches, and just fill in the blank, and we just like to commentate. Well, that's not right, and that's wrong, and I can't believe it's like that. All that means is you have no vision. You've been delegated to be a commentator. And God didn't create you like that. See, I believe God has given you a vision. He has a vision for you in every phase of your life, for your family, for your work, for your parenting, for your place here at Green Valley. He has a vision for you. I believe God has a vision for you to make an impact in our community. I believe he's got a vision for you to make an impact in the school you go to. I believe God's going to give some of you a vision to tackle some of the problems that we see in our society. You know, I hate turning the news on every night. You know, we got people killing people like it's a game in our city, in the Birmingham area. And people are like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know what I think may happen? I'm praying that some people who are called God followers we'll get a vision that God says, this is not the way it could be, should be, and this is not the way I want it to be, and God gives you a picture to do something about it. We're a hub for human trafficking. You say, what are we going to do about it? I pray and I believe that God's going to give some of you a vision, a mental picture of what could be, should be, and what he wants it to be. We're a community that's marked by addiction and violence and injustice, and God's going to give some of you, if you listen, a mental picture of what could be, should be, and the way he wants it to be. So I believe that God's going to give some of you that as it even relates to this place we call Green Valley. That God's going to give some of you a mental picture of what could be here. Not for somebody else to do, for you to do. For you to accomplish. For you to carry out. That you make the decision, I'm not just going to be a commentator. I'm going to be a person that's marked by vision, because this is one life I've been given. You see, when you come to that point, one of the things that's going to happen in life is you're going to have purpose. You're going to have purpose. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, one of our favorite passages here, talks about that. And we talk about it all the time, but I don't know if you really understand this, how it relates to your one life. He says in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, "For we are God's handiwork." And that means you're one of a kind, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In your Bible, you ought to underline, do the good works. In other words, there is something that God has for you to do. Do you understand what that means? We've just sung about God, that whatever picture I have of God, it's not big enough. Whatever picture I have of God, it's not enough. It doesn't sum you up. That God says, I have put you on this planet to make an eternal difference. I have put you here not to commentate, but I've put you here to do something that I've envisioned. Let me ask you what that is in your life. Certainly, it's not to sit here. This is the pinnacle of many of your lives when it comes to following Jesus. Let's just be honest. This is not God's vision for your life. This is just standard operating procedure. We'll talk about that in the days ahead. But what is your vision? What is the eternal difference God is calling you to make? Do you understand that you were made for a divine agenda? I'm telling you, I always say this, everybody's got an agenda. I have an agenda. The only issue today is whether it's going to be a divine agenda or my agenda. Everybody. You were made, the God we just sang about, the Savior who died on the cross for you, he did that you might have a divine agenda. That God's vision for you, and understand this, that God's vision for you always has an eternal element. In other words, there are things that he wants you to do on this planet that will impact for eternity. Think about that. And whatever it is he wants you to do, you can be certain of this. You're going, Jeff, you're scaring me just a little bit. Listen, this is not some crazy idea. Whatever he calls you to do will be in line with his word. And so if you ever have somebody go, I had a vision from God, and I'm always nervous when people say, God's been talking to me. He hadn't spoken to me. He speaks to my spirit, but I ain't heard him. So these people are like, well, I heard a voice. Well, that's good. Okay. If I'm telling you, he talks to me, somebody's going to peel me off the ceiling. And usually when that happens, there's some kind of thought process that's going, I don't know where you're coming with that. But understand today that his vision is going to line up with his purpose. It's going to line up with what God is doing in the world. But here's what I want you to get today as you think about your one life. Do you realize God has chosen to use you? Because sometimes we go through life going, I'm going to decide whether or not I'm going to serve God. God has chosen to use you. Red Rover, send Jeff right over. You got to be kidding me. I mean, think about it. Do you live with that mindset that the creator of the world going, I got something I want you to do? And so it brings purpose. Another thing that happens when you get this vision is it brings focus. How many of you are thinking about something right now, a decision you got to make? It's difficult. Some of you are thinking about where you're going to eat lunch, which is the most difficult thing in the world, right? I hope you don't have a fight before you get there. But when you have a vision, when you understand, hey, this is God's mental picture that he's given me for what could be, should be, and what he wants to be in my life, you know it brings focus, because every decision goes down to this filter. If it brings me closer to that vision, it's a yes. If it takes me away from that vision, it is a no. If you begin to see your life with that divine agenda, and you begin to make decisions with a divine agenda, it begins to simplify life. And a lot of things fit through that. And so you don't have to get up tomorrow morning going, hey, I'm going to base my decisions today based on how I feel. Because then that kind of, so much of what we do is based on how we feel. Well, I feel like doing this for God, and I feel like serving here, I feel like getting involved here, and then I don't feel like it anymore. Man, when you get a vision, when you get a mental picture of what could be, should be, and what God wants to be, it gives you purpose, it gives you focus. Well, let's think about that for a minute. What's in your vision today? What's in your vision today? You know, if you can read all through Scripture, and I challenge you to do this, kind of think today through Scripture, through this lens of vision. Start with Noah. Did a guy have a mental picture of something or what? You think yours is big. He had a 450-foot boat to build. That took him 100 years. But think about this vision. There's a passage in Acts chapter 20, and there's a verse in Acts chapter 20 that I love. But I want you to see the first part of it first. And Paul is writing, and he's writing to his friends at the church at Ephesus that he loves. And in verse 17, if you got your Bibles and you want to follow along there, he says this. He says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. Anyway, he's wanting to have a meeting with these guys. These are his close friends. He's been ministering among them. He says, when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. In other words, man, I've been at it. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. He's kind of giving you a short sketch of his ministry. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, see, I want you to have an "and now" moment. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. There's uncertainty sometimes. There's uncertainty sometimes when God takes you somewhere. He said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know he's leading me. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. And here's what I want you to underline. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. However, so what are you doing in life? I guess the real question is there a however? See, if you have a vision today, there's a pretty good chance it's going to start with a burden today. It's your inability to accept things the way they are. As you look around the community, you look around your city, you look around your neighborhood, you look around your school, you look around your church, you look around, you fill in the blank, and there's just something that you're burdened about and simply says, I just can't accept that. And I'm not willing to just commentate on it. And what you have a picture of stands in contrast to what is. And you have a heavy heart about it. And you cried about it. And it's kept you out at night. It's got you up early in the morning. Do you have that? Did I tell you? Did I remind you that he has a divine agenda for your life? If you just read through Scripture, so many times, it's a burden. And that burden begins to lead to a picture of what could be and what should be and what God wants it to be. And let me just tell you something. This is a little side note. And you'll, with that burden, you'll say, someone has to do something about that. And you'll call the church. And then you have a light bulb moment that someone is you. And at that moment, you begin to understand what it is to have a vision. That somebody has to do something, and it's me. It's me. And once you get that burden, what happens after that is you begin to get a conviction, and you begin to get a passion and an urgency. Not that it just could happen, it must happen. Not that it just stands in contrast to what is, but it must happen, and I must do something about it. There is an urgency, and when you talk to people, let me just tell you this, when you tell them, hey, I've got a passion about this, and go, now, well, you need to take this slow, and you've got a passion, you've got an urgency, it has to happen now. It may take the rest of your life, but it has to happen now. When you begin to have that burden, and that burden turns into a conviction, and that conviction begins to add passion, and that passion has urgency, get ready. You're about to get on a divine agenda. And let me just give you a heads up. As you go down that road, you'll have to understand that a vision requires courage to act. Because what's about to happen is you're about to leave the comfort zone. Because what is a vision? A picture of what could be. What should be. You're not there yet. And it stands in contrast to what is. So now you're about to leave the known. And the known is comfortable. I don't like it, but I know it. And so you have to begin to ask yourself, what am I going to do? And you may ask some other people for advice. And what you're going to learn is another step in this courage to act is that everybody won't support your vision. Some people won't understand. Maybe your mom and daddy. Maybe your spouse. Maybe your siblings. It may be the people sitting in this room. I tell you another thing, you won't have all the details either. You just think about it, and I just challenge you. What I'm doing, I'm just laying some groundwork for you to read the Bible, to read God's story. You can start with Noah if you want to use his story. If you want to use Nehemiah, you want to use Abraham, you want to use Esther or Ruth or one of the disciples. They didn't have all the details, did they? And some of you are waiting, going, I don't know what's next, and he's just waiting for you to take the next step. So you're going to get burdened about something. If you'll come to God and you begin to listen to his spirit, because he's got a divine agenda for your life, and you just begin to pray to him, you're going to get a burden about something. You're going to get a conviction that this must happen. There has to be a passion about it. There's an urgency to it. And then before you go, you'll realize I got to have courage to act on it. Now, before you get off on some cockeyed idea, a vision always ends with God's glory. I mean, Jesus put it as simply. He said, let your light shine before men that they may see your what? The good works he planned in advance for you to do and glorify your Father in heaven. I love the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem and rebuilds a wall in a miraculous period of time, a month and a half. And you can read it in Nehemiah chapter 6. It says the wall was completed. And because of the way it was completed, you know what they did? They looked at Nehemiah and said, boy, you're the best wall builder around. And it says that they were fearful, for they knew this was the work of God. Think about it. That's how vision works. Read about it all through his story. You got to have a burden. You got to have a conviction. You got to have courage. And always realize it's not about you. The divine agenda is yours. But the glory is his. You see, everybody in this room is going to finish. Did you know that? Everybody in here is going to finish. The only question today is whether you're going to finish well. It's a phrase that I've been using for many years. When my father was dying, And I was there with my siblings taking care of him. People would call me from all over. How you doing? How's he doing? I said the same thing every single day. We're just trying to finish well. Everybody's going to finish. You got one life. Not everybody's going to finish well. And that's where, what? Vision comes in. You see, Paul, who we read in Acts chapter 20, and he says, however, you know, I just want to finish the work that God has given me. You fast forward, and he got close to finishing. And this is what he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. You know what that means? I finished well. And I have kept the faith. Before you die, I hate to bring that up. Before you die, I challenge you to live the life God envisioned for you to live. Before you die. Because there are no mulligans. So what's your picture today? What's your mental picture of what could be, should be, and what God wants it to be? Mom and Dad, you got one for your parenting? Husband, wife, you got one for your marriage? Follower of Jesus Christ, you got one for serving? Green Valley family, you got one for his church? Community, you got one for this place we call home? For all the things you've commentated on over the last weeks and months, whatever it might be, all the things you're like, man, that's terrible. Somebody ought to do something. I can't believe our society has come to that. I hope a little bell goes off in your head and God says, I have a divine agenda for you. Stop commentating and get busy. Because you got to play it where it lies. There aren't any mulligans. Let's pray together.